Sorry, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah. And Donna, the only thing that I'll mention that we need to do is that insurance bill that came in for $45,000. On my printout, I took 15% of it and put it under the water budget. So we'll just need to do that in QuickBooks.
Oh, okay. So that should be split?
Yeah.
It wasn't split prior. I just kind of copied what I did, you know, what
You and I moved it out of the employee one and put it in the right category, but we need to do the 15% split on that.
Okay.
So we did budget $6,600 in the water side for the portion of the insurance, of the property insurance.
Okay. So Kelly just joined us. I just handed him my copy of the budget that you had produced, Kathy. Just wanted to take a quick look at it. So
yeah, Kelly?
If he has any concerns. Yep, Kelly's here.
Okay, sure. Yep. No, the roads and buildings and grounds are all in pretty good shape. So he's doing a good job.
Yep. Do you foresee, Kelly, any expenditures that might be out of the ordinary?
No. It'd just be the equipment, and we have a big enough line for that. So, no. I think we're going to be good. I'm happy with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. We're a little high, I think, you know, percentage-wise on overtime and some of the staffing, but I think we're going to be under enough on the equipment maintenance that they'll balance out. So, you know, Kelly has that flexibility to sort of look at everything together. And if we're a little high on manpower, then we need to come in a little low on repairs and maintenance and supplies.
Yep.
Okay. The overtime, you know, we're already $9,000 into a $13,000 budget on overtime and part-time. Not that we can control overtime, but part-time, we've already spent over $11,000 and we've budgeted $18,000. So that's the only two things that kind of looked a little that we just need to pay attention to.
Yep. So while we got Kelly here now, I'm going to jump back to the DPW report.
Okay, so we're good on the budget?
I think so, unless Paula or Kathy, you have any other concerns?
Nothing additional. Highlighted. We should talk about next week. We'll look at.
Yeah, if you could maybe pull up some details of those overages, we can at least have an idea. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So Kelly,
do you want me to post this on the website as is, or wait till we take a look at the detail?
Go ahead. Yeah, you can go ahead and post it.
Okay. All right.
But we'll have the details for next week.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to hand the microphone over to Kelly. So, Kelly, you got the floor. Go ahead.
Yeah. We're in the process of doing the Upper Lakeview culvert. It's taking a little longer than we anticipated. Speaking with Ian, when we started to dig, he was concerned that water main, he said, is under 3 feet down, 2.5 feet, he thought. So that makes it very tight to put a culvert. So we had to go down the size of the culvert, and we're a little bit shallower than I like, but I think we'll be all right. So we're finishing that up today. As I reported, I'll be out next week, and hopefully that's it. We'll see how the recoup goes, and maybe a day or two into the week after, but my guys are, they have all they need. They have jobs lined up. Tony's going to fill in a couple extra days, and more if necessary, which I don't anticipate. That leads me into looking at projects that we have still left for this year. We planned on doing the South Deuces culvert this week, but when we got set up and lined up to do it, the traffic was such that we couldn't. It was a bad idea. I don't know what people in such a hurry to get somewhere, but it got dangerous that I thought you better wait till the off season for that. The Bird Dock culvert, I'd like to speak because that is a big one. If nothing else gets done, I think that's one we need to look at. completing this year. I sent everyone information again from the new DES person that I have in my area. And he echoed what the last DES person told me, that I have every right to repair this culvert. It's and I just completed my culvert maintainer certificate just now. And everything I've learned and everything I see is, gives me the authority to maintain and to repair culverts in the district. Like I stated, we are going to upsize the culvert that's there. We're not doing anything different but removing what's there and putting a new culvert in, but a bigger size. No report. I'll report it to DES, because that's part of my license. But other than that, it's up to you guys to pull the trigger or don't pull the trigger.
So, Kelly, the conversation you had, is that something that was an email exchange between the two of you or a phone call?
It was both, but I did pull the email, and you should have gotten that.
Yeah, I got it.
Wait, I don't know if
basically, basically it states that Kelly, as a certified culvert
maintainer,
has the authority to repair or maintain this culvert that he's talking about. So we get the go-ahead in writing from the state, the new guy. So I don't know who else we could ask. This is the guy in charge.
Okay.
So I would,
right,
I would say, yeah, my thing would be to, you know, have Kelly go ahead and start your planning for that. And I did see the an excavator, a mini excavator down at
that's
Madison. Okay. And I thought, wow, they get started early. It was a Volvo.
And that's going to be the key to this, that I can still line up that excavator that Chadwick has offered. That will be the deciding factor whether that can still happen this year and when it can happen. I did talk to Chris Albert, actually taught the culvert class that I just took, and he's going to look at it with me so that we're on the same path of how to get it accomplished. There's a complete book on this. It's the best management practices put out by DES. That's what I need to conform to. And it spells it right out that I make the call on the culvert. I decide. I can't go over a 48-inch culvert, but anything under that, it's my decision. With your permission.
Okay, so to Paul or Kathy, to give Kelly the go-ahead, I mean, there will be a lot of planning that he has to do on his part to get this sized up and get the materials and such ready. Do we want to give him that go-ahead? And we're looking at what
else. So we're basically making a motion to open the warrant article.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that's the motion to open the warrant article for the Bergdorf culvert replacement.
Right.
So Jay, you're making that motion?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion, Kathy, Paula?
No.
Kelly?
No. I think I was the one that was a little concerned back in at the beginning of the year about making sure that we did have the approvals from DES in place with this new individual, so I feel comfortable now that that has happened.
Okay.
Again, it's not an approval. It's them letting us interpret the situation, and it's not something that they, I don't want to say can be bothered with, because they don't mind being bothered, but there's certain things on a daily basis that I have charge over.
Yeah, so for example, there was no permit needed for this because Kelly already has the authority to do so on a daily basis of work.
But approval is not the right word, but that we have that
he has the authority.
They confirmed what you were saying about your authority to do this. they can find
it. If you're doing something outside the scope of the description in the book, then I would have to get approval, but
right.
I'm not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So all in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Good.
What else you got,
okay.
Kelly?
Moving on. The tire for the grader, I heard 1650 is actually 1750.
Ouch.
I guess we need to reapprove that so I don't get in trouble for overspending, but he's going to try to do better because I told him I misheard him, and he's going to see if he can get a better price, but he can't guarantee that.
Okay, so I'll we can actually revisit the motion that was made last week, and I'll make a motion to amend the approved motion of last week for up to $1,650 for a new grader front wheel.
Yes.
Front wheel grader tire, and change that amount to $1,750. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
$1,750.
Yes. Oh, did I say 17?
You said
$17.
Yeah, you might want to say 18.
I'm not going to pay over 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
1750.
Okay. Do I have a second on that?
No, I'll second that.
Great. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Great. All right.
Lastly, due to my, light duty status after this operation, but I am going to be have some constraints, and one of them is going to be operating a roller for doing asphalt. I wouldn't imagine I'll be able to do that. We have not done our shimming this year or any asphalt work. I still have an entire budget. I would like to see if when we have Brian paving and doing the paving for the water project, if there's anything that I need to be shimmed or repaired, I could see if they could also add that to it and not overspending my budget.
Good idea.
Because there are a few places that really could use a shim. Nothing serious. I know we have a warrant article for Idlewise Drive. I have $5,000 in that warrant.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see putting $5,000 into a road that is going to need to be reclaimed within the next 2 years. It was a safety issue. I would certainly do it, but I'm not going to throw money on a road just for smooth travel at this point. So I don't see me using much, if any, of that warrant money. But as far as my budget for $17,000, I don't want to leave it sitting there. We do have some. We'll do hand work, but any bigger repairs, I would ask Brian if they could quote me and look at that as an option.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, so I'm just throwing that out there. I don't have a real plan for it yet, but I don't want to leave that money and not do things that we need to do.
Okay.
But I am going to have some restraints. I am going to be in a cast for a while, so it's dangerous on a roller in here, and when you're healthy, never mind when you're not. So. Just that's a heads up in case people are wondering about asphalt work. That's really all I have.
Okay. We still got roads closed right now, or?
I think so. I haven't been out yet today.
Yeah.
I've been in class all morning, but I think we do.
Thing was overburned, the yellow.
Yeah. Dirt. Otherwise, we got open. The tree actually fell the rest of the way, and we were able to move it.
Well, where was that, though? What address? Oh, yeah, further down at 130, just at the right by near Money Beach. There's a tree. That road's closed.
Oh,
still down.
That's Madison.
Yeah, it's just outside the village. And I thought it was open and offered to drive somebody somewhere, but never got there.
Yeah.
So, Burn, West Bergamo. I also heard issues about.
Okay.
Got
it.
But
also the power is back on Italy's Drive. So people on the other over on Interlock can have their power back. So it might have gotten rid of
okay.
the trees.
All right, good. All right. Yeah. There was a West Bergamo, there was a branch down, but against the wires as well?
It's Little Shore Middle Shore.
Oh, Little Old Mill. Okay. All right. All right. Yeah, if it's on the wire, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yep.
Don't even go near it.
No, we raked everything and removed everything we could yesterday.
Yeah.
We're in good shape.
Okay. So you did mention you just took the class again to recertify for your culvert maintenance?
Yes.
Perfect.
That's why Chris is in here.
Yep. And Summit picnic table. I know that the EPOA said they would buy one. Were we going to buy it ourselves?
I never got my approval to go get it. So
oh, okay.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we did.
Yeah.
So if the guys have a rainy day or whatever.
Yeah. Are we delivering that to the Summit unpainted?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So Kelly, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
I retrieved the letter from the Department of Labor, and they were asking for an update on all of our safety violations. Could I grab Jeff maybe Monday morning just to walk through with him to make sure all those things have been done before we set up a inspection?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think Ian did go in and clean up the DPW 2 area and the loft area.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll track him down on Monday.
Yeah, anything else for Kelly? Okay, we do have Ian in the office. So I'm going to jump right to our water reports. And skip a couple of things that are office related and go right down to Ian. Well, let me just start. Go ahead, Ian. You get the microphone.
Can I be done?
Yeah, you're good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Kelly.
Always. You guys do. Here you go. Yeah. Where do you want to start? What do you want to go first?
Well, let's see. So we got some curb stop valve swing tie information.
Yep, those are being done. So I've actually got a couple other. I had Donna give me the whole list of everything for the last couple of years. So we're just going through, making sure they're all done. So
okay.
I'd say those are about half done. So as soon as those are, I'll get them to you guys.
All right. There was a reported leak underneath a crawl space at number 12 Interlaken.
Yep.
So
we went over, shut that down. That's essentially confirmed. I don't know if it's an internal issue or an external. What we know it is running, and he was told that, you know, I was going to be touching base with you guys and doing the routine. You know, it was not bad enough that it had to be, you know, they had to be without water. They are using the homes.
Yeah.
So typical end of construction season or however, whatever time period you guys want to give them to have that address. I told them it would likely be they have to have it done by October 15th.
All right. So. Yeah, so I'll ask Paula and Kathy. So we have a leak within a service line of a property owner's responsibility, and customarily the Board of Commissioners sets a timetable in which to ask the homeowner to get the service line repaired. Would this, do you know, Ian, the age of this service line? Is it an old one?
No, this is Interlaken, correct?
Yes.
So I'm guessing you're... Yeah, it doesn't look new, so it could be original, but the homeowner didn't know if it had been replaced at any point. So.
And do we require, I believe the ordinance requires that it be brought up to the 200 CTS?
Yep, current standards and 6-foot barrier and everything.
Yeah.
All right. It has to be an entire new line from curb out to
home,
barring him finding something, you know, inside of the foundation walls.
Right, okay.
Because he had the whole, it came in from the other side of the house and was all plastic over, so they had to cut all that out, and he was
going
to do that and get back to us. So.
Okay. So we would then require this homeowner to, if it is not 200 CTS, that we'd have to ask them to go ahead and replace the entire line. Is that correct?
Any which way, unless you can, which it's not even, you know, financially viable typically to prove it, but you'd have to prove it's in sand, 6 feet deep, proper pipe, you know,
right,
all those things. So, essentially, you know, it's a new line from curb out to home.
Yeah. All right. So I'll ask Paula and Kathy what we would probably like to do or may want to do is send a homeowner a letter asking them to replace the service line from curb stop to home. And by a certain date, and that date, Ian, would probably be best be around October the 15th?
Yep. We usually give them until the end of construction season to get that done.
Okay. So I'll make that motion that we generate that letter.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion on the letter or the details?
Nope. I mean, you're good at grabbing in the ordinance and say, you know,
yep,
according to the ordinance, you know, please have this service, not please, but you need to have this service line replaced by August 15th.
Yeah.
I mean, October
okay.
15th. October, not August.
Yeah.
October 15th. Yep.
They know
that yep.
he has right. to cost for it before he does it. Is that how it works?
Say it again.
Does Ian then provide them with a cost and then he works directly with them and they pay for it?
That's up to them, you know, so it's where it's on their end of the line. They can pick any contractor they want to do that. All I,
okay.
the only involvement
okay.
I need to have is just an inspection of that line.
Okay. So you just make sure they understand
that.
If you have to see it before they close up the ground, just make sure that letter states whatever they need to conform with in terms of the policy.
Right. We make the connection at the curb valve and inspect the interior and then also the water line itself. That's pretty much the that's all you know, as far as I don't want to be involved
there. As long as they understand what they have to do, what their requirements are.
Yeah. It's like a plumber. They, you know, an internal leak inside the house, they get their own plumber, or in this case, their own excavator to install the service line.
Yeah, I understand. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The other thing I wanted to ask Ian, and I know we brought this up a while ago, not with you, but just internally, but I know that you often go out on your own to homes like this that have a water problem. Someone's having plumbing done inside, you shut the water off for a couple of hours or whatever and turn it back on. So we don't charge them for that, though. The district does not charge that homeowner for that service.
That I don't know.
No.
No.
If you don't.
No.
The only thing that I'm aware of is the seasonal shutoffs.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So we have been charging for the seasonal shutoffs.
Oh, that's in the process.
Yeah. Okay. We should, you know, when you do go to do service at a house for plumbing needs inside, and then we get that bill, we should note, or if you could put on the bill, that it was for plumbing services on the residence so that we know to send that individual the bill.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The only gray area to that is a lot of times this is exploratory, if you will. Like that house at 12, I have no idea whether they had, if we had a leak on our side, had a leak on their side.
Right.
So if we confirm it to be on the homeowner's side,
exactly.
Make a special note that, so you know that we determined it's past the curb valve.
Yeah.
And okay. Yeah, we do that.
Perfect. Okay. Great. We also got some bills Donna was showing me a while back from North Conway Water Precinct.
Yeah, I called them on it, and some of them go back pretty far. They waited a couple months to bill out.
Yep.
I am not entirely sure what each of those went to. I can have them send a list, but they don't actually have the date that we purchased it either, because what they do is they write it on paper and then put it in the office, and whenever someone gets around to filling it, they bill it out. I'd have to look back and what we had for service stuff. I mean, sometimes we buy it, you know, sometimes I'll make sure to buy a 2-inch or a 4-inch saddle because I'm not positive what the size of the main would be,
right.
Things of that nature, but I haven't actually reviewed the you've said.
Hi,
Chris.
Hi, good morning. Chris Albert here.
Yeah.
We got Ian is doing his presentation right now, Chris, so if you could just hold on for a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I'm here for you. Yep, thank you.
Yeah, it looks like...
That goes back to March.
Not this one.
That goes back to March.
Okay, this would have been a leak repair of some sort, brass couplings, and this would have been for don't know what BMSS is, but
yeah, and then this is
inspection by NeuroIP Brass.
But a lot of that hardware is a regular curb stop hookup, right?
This is a repair to a 2-inch water line.
Okay.
Most of these would be for curb valves and like a 3-inch, like 1-inch saddle, and all of this is for a curb valve.
Yeah, we just want to have the traceability to know whether or not we need to charge either the homeowner or, if not, we're
and
in our accounting.
This is all for our end of water line.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, so from the accounting standpoint, we have several buckets that we could put this into.
Gotcha.
Of course, one being the project, which is a totally separate billing cycle and such.
Right.
The other being water line repair. The other being water system expansion. We just want to know where, accountability-wise, where to place these.
I mean, the only, I don't know how to go about getting the record, I guess, under bill to, I can have that job name or something. We can start just adding whatever the service connection is or whatever.
I do have a comment to this. This came this week, but there was no work order.
Okay.
Somebody's supposed to return my call.
2-1 CC Ball Corporations. This.
So Jay, how much? What's the dollar value of what we're discussing right now?
It's a few thousand dollars, I believe.
No.
And what I have in my end is about $1,000 between all of them. This was for.
We paid from March to the last check that on July 22nd was $738.28, and I have $240.48 bill.
And this was for the potential connection up on 7 Biasco.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I had to have him grab both the PC and the IP port, depending on which saddle we end up using, weren't sure the pipe size.
Okay. And I believe you got the email that we have another water hookup application.
Yeah, getting a lot of those.
Yeah. One more, right?
I have 11 Blinden and then the 34 Interlaken.
Okay. Yeah, I saw both of those.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, now, let's talk about 7 Biasca,
okay,
if you don't mind.
So, we went off and pulled footages. Give me 1 second, I can get that here. I'm just finding the drawing of it. Okay, so, from end of water main, to in a linear passage is running at a diagonal to his property line to the tree that's marked with pink ribbon up there. We have 35 feet.
Okay.
To the location we were planning to put the curb valve is 58 feet. Again, is running as in the shortest path possible.
Yeah.
To get the water main extended from current end to where we were planning to put the curb valve would be about 50 feet, 53 feet. And to get just to his property line, be 28 feet less than that, so whatever that is, 25 feet or so, to get the water main extended to his first end of property line. To get to the end of the road from the end of the service would be 115 feet. This is all, it's 6-inch blue brood up there, which is, a questionable start, but it is. It is buried at 6.5 feet deep, blasted ledge. So to match that, I think the ledge is anywhere from 1 foot to 3 feet in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be removing upwards of 3 to 4 feet of ledge to build this water main. A ballpark price is done to extend that main and run the service over was probably about $10,000 to $12,000. That was to run the water main to where we're planning to tie the connection about 50 feet there and then another 30 feet or so over to our curb belt.
Okay, and then to do the curb belt is usually about $3,000 that comes out of that $8,000.
This would be all included.
Oh, all included, okay.
Yeah, minus whatever material, plus whatever material costs, $500 in material. But this would be to run the water main and the service would be about $10,000 to $12,000.
Wow.
That's removing that ledge.
Okay. So this cost would be borne. This is in addition to the $8,000.
No.
No.
This is a total cost. We're going to go find the water main head, build the main, build the service. You have a cost of $12,000. This is not on top of the $8,000 or anything. You could take the $8,000 from the water connection and put it towards it and then spend an additional $2,000 to $4,000 to finish it off would be what we're talking about.
Right. But the, so I was going back to the ordinance. I sent everybody a copy of the ordinance. I think I copied you. Where it basically states that the water main extension and ledge blasting will be the responsibility of the property owner entirely.
Okay, good.
So that extension of the water main to the property line will be borne by the homeowner in addition to the $8,000 water hookup.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So what were we looking at? You said it was basically 58 feet to where you want the CSV to be located. Do we know, have an idea of what that extension would cost to go that 58 feet through ledge?
I would say it would be about three quarters of that. If I was to make a guess, it'd be $7,000 or $8,000 to get there.
Yeah.
Just because of the, you know, main depth and all that. It's
okay.
Probably, it would be at least two thirds of the cost of what he gave me. Again, that was a ballpark. It's hard to say exactly what the cost would be, but sure, you could give a hard estimate.
Yeah.
Decided to do it. I think that, you know, this goes back to you guys having to decide if we're going to require the property owners to get to the beginning of their property or the end of the property on the extension.
Right. Now, I'm just looking at the map, and no, he's the last
spot. Yeah. There's nobody beyond him.
Yeah. So there's nobody beyond him. So to require him to run the extension to the end of his lot, I see no need.
So you could allow him to build it to the beginning of his lot, which is only 30 feet,
right?
Which would reduce his costs substantially, and then we would eat the cost of whatever the – it would probably chew up the entirety of that $8,000
mm-hmm.
to get from the end of that water main to the curb belt.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. If you go from the end of the water main to that curb belt location, the nearest piece on his property is 30 feet, but he would be responsible for that 30 feet because that's an extension of the water main to reach his property.
That's entirely up to you guys.
Yeah.
That would be one of them. Because, yeah, you'd have anywhere, like I said, between 53 feet to get to the where we were intending to put the curb valve, and his property line goes 30 feet before that. So, again, 25 feet to get to his property.
Right. That's what I got, 25. Yep. Okay. So,
however, whichever length you want to require him to do would be your choice. And then from there, we're building from wherever you decide to let him build to. We're going from there to the curb valve at whatever cost that is.
Yeah.
You know, if we go, like I said, if we go from, if you let him go from the property line, it would be 58 feet. No, I'm sorry. It would be, that was from end of main. I don't have the diagonal. All I have is diagonal distances from the current end of main to property line to the curb valve. So if, I don't know what the difference would be if we went 30 feet out and then over or whatever. But you'd have somewhere around 40 feet, give or take, to get the service line from the water main to the property, to the curb valve.
Okay. All right. So how do we want to approach this, Paula and Kathy? We have the option of actually rescinding the approval of his application because at the time, as with any application, we really don't know if there's a water line in front of the property. We've done our diligence in discovering that, and we could rescind or we could simply send a letter to the homeowner saying that there will be additional costs above and beyond the $8,000 water hookup fee. And we'll get a number from possibly Dawson to run that water main up to that property. So I'll let that discussion point go from there. Kathy or Paula, do you have anything?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't think it's up to us to rescind it. He wants to hook up. The water pressure is not the issue. I think it's up to him to decide whether he wants to revoke his application or he wants to continue with the additional cost of that $7,000 or $8,000 to get the main over there. So, I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
I don't think we care whether he does it or not, but he has to realize that. that there will be that additional cost to him to get that water main across the road.
Yeah,
I was going to say the same thing, that we should send him a letter outlining his options and make sure he's clear on what the costs are for him and what else he can do instead. And as long as we're clear on what our responsibilities are, if he says, I want to go ahead, what's it going to cost the district for our piece of it and go from there? I'm not clear. You guys are talking about so many numbers and distances. It would be great if someone could summarize this on a piece of paper and say, here's sort of the three options or the two options, because I'm unclear now on what it's going to cost the district.
One of the things is as a district, we said, if you're extending a water main up a road and the property owner needs that extension, he should pay to go all the way across his lot so the next property owner isn't, saddled with, an exorbitant amount of waterline extension. Yeah. But this guy, there's nobody beyond him. It's a dead end. And actually, the district ends there, doesn't it? That's the edge of Idlewise, period. So there'll be no possibility of an additional lot going beyond his house. So now we can shrink the amount of extension because it only has to reach his property. It doesn't have to go across his property to the next lot. So that's why
there's kind of... I understand that. I guess my question is there's still some cost to the district, right, if he goes
absolutely. To get it, because the water main is actually on the other side of the street. So we have to go across the road, and that's where they're running into the ledge.
But it's not going to cost us more than the $8,000 he's paying us, right?
Well, no.
We're not
going to
be out money.
Correct. And it should be – and we're not going to spend the total $8,000. We'll probably spend $3,000 out of the $8,000 because the property owner is responsible for getting that money.
Kathy, we're having to remove, 3 feet of ledge. If you guys opt to go with the ledge removal, which I think you should, we have to remove ledge from the water main to the curb about 40 feet. That's expensive.
Okay, so we would consume all of our $8,000 and then maybe another, seven or eight or four or $5,000 to the homeowner?
Again, the number Dawson gave me to extend the main and then run over to him with $10,000, maybe up to $12,000. So I would say it would be the two would be split somewhere inside of that, whether the homeowner is 50%, we're 50%, we might be six, he might be six, it might be eight on him, four on us. I don't know. But it's, my guess is it would be around 50-50 or, the water, again, it depends on how much main you actually extend. If you go 20 feet or if you make him go 25 feet or if you make him go 55 feet, it makes a big difference on how much cost we're eating versus how much cost he's eating.
Yeah, so we're about $1,500 into just the exploratory already, right?
Yep.
So even though he has the right to rescind or revoke his application, it has already cost the district $1,500 to find where that water main ended. So he could back out, and it will come out of our budget, and he will have paid nothing to find that information. That's an ordinance issue.
Yeah, but if he stays in, it could cost us more, Jay. You're saying it could cost the district $10,000, and then we're out $1,500 on the other end, right?
No. So, again, if you read the ordinance, if we're going to extend that water main across the road diagonally to his property, if there's any ledge involved, that's the responsibility of the property owner. We'll do digging for service link from the water main to the curb stop valve, and that all comes out of the $8,000, but that's under expectations of gravel, sand, that type of thing. But ledge is an additional thing, and that's borne by the resident.
Even on their service line?
Yes. Even on the I call it the service link from the water main across the road to the curb stop valve.
They would be responsible for paying for that ledge?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So then, obviously...
somebody say to him, this is what it's going to cost you. So your options are $8,000 in, plus you have other costs, and or pull it and try to get a well.
Yeah, so that's why I'm explaining the details to Ian, and I'll put this all in writing so that Ian can go to Dawson and get a good hard number so that we can present this property owner and let the property owner decide which way he wants to go.
Correct.
Okay. Can I chime in, Jay, if I get a second?
Sure, Chris. Go ahead.
So it's my understanding, Ian, that this is a 6-inch line that we're extending, or what would we reduce it down?
I don't know. It is, yes, the 6-inch line. How we want to handle the extension is questionable. It's a 2-inch line feeding the 6-inch line, and then, you know, then we'll work, you know, for 20 houses. So it's not even, you know, that 6-inch main's feeding three houses. So it's, I guess I wouldn't see the value in reducing it at this point. You just got a big barrel in the middle of two-inch lines, or I don't know. It's certainly all that's needed is a 2-inch line, but we'd have to decide what we're going to do for an extension there.
Right. And I guess my other question then is do we have any type of yard hydrant at the end of this? I mean, typically any of these dead-end runs should have a proper 2-inch blow-off hydrant for flushing, cleaning, that aspect. So
yeah,
that really
we're pretty limited on those. I mean, we certainly don't have them at every single dead end. I know that the most recent extension we asked somebody to do, we did require them to install a blow-off, and there is actually a blow-off in the woods here on this one. It's an undocumented one we didn't have. So there is, in fact, a blow-off on this line, so I don't know if we – I don't know what the – we could probably leave the existing blow-off 20 feet shy of the water main extension in order to avoid having to dig another lateral through ledge to put in a new blow-off.
Yeah. Well, my only thought, Jay, is, you know, let's do things right. You know, let's get a standard practice, that's all.
Yeah. No, I was glad to hear that the existing line is actually down 6.5 feet into blasted or chipped ledge. So something was done right, so that's good. And we just want to continue doing it the right way. Exactly. So I'll put some numbers together. I'll give that to Ian as well as a copy of the ordinance. And then if you could have Dawson give some hard numbers to that, that'd be great. And then we can go to the homeowner.
Again, in the past, we can give him a number just so we can give him a ballpark of what he's looking at. But we have in the past allowed the homeowner to contract their own person in order to, you know, actually save money or whatever.
Right.
Fine with that. It would just need to be same thing inspected.
Yeah.
Whatever, but that's it.
Because my feeling is that the homeowner is going to find, even on their own property, going from the curb stop to the basement, they're going to have all ledge, and it's going to be just as expensive.
Maybe a lot, because there is a big jump up. There's about 4 feet higher. It looks like the road was cut out.
Yeah.
Knocked out of the hill bank, so it looks like it's a lot more material there on his property. Hopefully he gets lucky. But, yeah, he's probably going to run into some.
Yeah, because he did tell me that the reason his basement wall is so much higher above the grade because it's on ledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got to run into it. Just how much of it's a question.
Right,
so.
Right. Okay. All right. So I'll put some numbers together. I'll send everybody a copy of the letter, and then we'll get some real hard numbers and then go to the homeowner. Okay, great. We got the water system usage report. Nothing that jumped out at me. Thank you, Donna. So getting back to what we just discussed on 7 Biasca, so 9 Reinhardt, right across from the new pump station.
Yep.
Are we going to have a very similar situation, ledge? And
yeah, I mean, you can see where the new water line's going in. It's going to be right at their property line, where it comes out of the building. So, again, these things, the plan of how we're going to go about this needs to be put in place so that it's consistent. So we want this guy tap on right at that water, you know, at the main existing at the far end of his property and run it around to wherever he wants to go, or do you require him to build water mains
all the way to the end of his property line?
Yeah, and I don't know if we have an ordinance on that, but it has to be the same
consistent
for everybody we deal with.
Yep. So we may have a very similar situation for the homeowner or builder up at number 9 Reinhardt. But again, in the ordinance, there's nothing that states that I know of requiring anyone extending the water line to extend it to the end of their property line. But that's been a discussion that's always took place.
Right. So this is just an example of how what you're going to run into with this is that you allow 9 Reinhardt to connect without doing any water main extension. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know which way the numbers go on that road. What's the state? 11 Reinhardt is the next one around the corner. And they decided to build a lot because, you know, beautiful spot up there now. They get water pressure. It's a great spot to build a house.
Yeah.
So they build it. And now they got 600 feet of water main they got to build to get to their house.
Yep.
So, you know, are they responsible for the frontage of the customer before them, or are they only responsible for their own frontages? Or only so it's, you know, that's just to get to their own property line. You know,
right.
So it's I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. If you just allow, I guess you could just allow front property line and people are – left to deal with whatever they run into to get past there. I kind of in my head think it's better to get to the other end of the property line. And, but that's because, you know, I mean, like I said, you have one house, you have two lots side by side, one has 300 foot of frontage, one has 50 feet of frontage.
Right.
You know, why is it the 50 foot frontage responsibility to build 300 feet of main? So I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yep. All right.
Running into a ledge and everything. So.
All right. We'll look at the ordinance because that is one of the things we've got to talk about.
I just added it to the list.
All right, thank you. Ian, anything else?
I don't think so. I think everything on the line I thought was going. I don't know if you guys have been up there. Tank's all built. So they were actually peeling the wood off that. We have the connection going in right now for the pump house. That's it.
All right. So. Hi, Dinah.
Hi.
That's good. I just
noticed this, and I guess it's worth asking. I see you guys have a scope of work from Iron Mountain coming in. Can I ask about that?
Oh, that's from the Iron Mountain quote. You never took off the thing.
Iron Mountain is a storage facility.
Yeah.
For electronics.
Yeah.
Just
this has to come up. There you
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's for all these books up here, Ian. Looking for some.
We got to move on.
All right.
I got nothing else. I mean, so we'll just keep in touch on all these water lines.
Okay.
Paula, go ahead.
Yeah. So last weekend, Ian, it sounds like you're getting ready to leave, and we got a lot to do. Last weekend, I've got time. About the prior weekend, there was an outage on Jungfrau over the weekend, and I guess the question came up that, you know, you'd gotten a call apparently early in the morning, but you weren't able to get here till about 4 o'clock, and, you know, we have to deal with the issue about
I was here first thing in the morning. I got the first outage call from one of the upper houses on Aspen, the top house that we had recently done a leak repair for.
Okay.
So I went and met that house specifically, and I had not at that point received any other calls for outages. And anybody I talked to had water at that time below him. So he's the highest house. We fixed our section of water. So when we talk about the service line, it's service line from main to curb valve and curb valve to home. We replaced our section of water line, and what will happen very frequently is after you get that repair done on a – it's a subpar line, obviously, a lot of the times the homeowner section will pop. So the usage wasn't dictating that we had a large leak, and I didn't have any other outages across that zone. So my assumption was that he had a leak on his line that was causing him in particular to drop pressure, right? So I went through that process with that in mind, and then I got more calls later on in the afternoon that more people were having outages, and what it turned out to be was a failed curb valve that was restricting water flow through. So we have a temporary cap on that right now. I just actually talked to Dawson today about going down and getting that replaced so we go back to kind of normal working order. But we got that. So I did a temporary cap from the pump house to feed around the bad curb valve, and luckily the pump house was there to do that. But I was here about 9 a.m., and then I returned back down after we got more calls for additional outages.
Okay, thanks. That was the question.
I think the day before, a couple of days before, we had the water break up at Jungfrau.
Yeah.
So was the repair of that, did that cause this on the weekend?
The valve was used to shut that down, and the valve, I don't know what's, without digging up and removing it, I can't tell you what is actually wrong with it. But no water is passing through that valve. So whether there's, you know, I don't know.
So it was an existing valve. It wasn't
valve. It's right at the PRV itself.
Yeah.
And it was shut down, and probably the operating rod is broken down in there or something. But that's what caused the, which not typically the first thing you think of when, because when I pulled the PRV apart to flush it out and all that, and it's like, why is water passing through there? Again, it's hard to tell how much, you know, I'm in a pit that I can flood it. So it was, anyway, everything kind of pointed towards that one house having a problem. Again, I checked with homeowners down below them, and they had water.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until, and I don't know if I'm not getting the calls or what, but I, you know, if there's, I don't know what the call centric system, how that works now, but I didn't get any calls until the morning.
Yeah. So just so you know, we talked about possibly going back to a answering service.
Because he actually said, he's like, you know, told me to call 911. He's like, I'm not going to call 911.
Well,
right.
See, that's,
Which is part of the reason why the information didn't come in as quickly, because people don't want to call 911 because they don't have, because they have low water pressure.
Right.
So,
so the question for Tom.
When he got the call, when he got there, and he's answered it. Thank you. That's all I have.
Yeah. All right. So today, we're shutting down, right?
It's down now. I believe we were able to, people should still have water right now.
Okay.
We were able to work around it.
All right.
So they're cutting that main, but we're back feeding through the secondary feed where we actually added that saline valve, which is playing off very
quickly.
So now we're feeding the backside of the district.
Ah, okay.
We're feeding all back up and around to where the...
So it's working. Good.
We have valves to actually shut off the section. So
yeah. All right. Okay, cool. And when is that work expected to be completed today, or...?
Yeah. They'll have the valves in. I'm hoping to be going back to normal in about by the time I actually get back up there.
Okay.
They already had the mains cut out and everything when I left. So.
All right. Just so she knows, because if she starts, her phone starts ringing.
Yeah, let me know if we start getting outages, because I'll be curious to know that we're getting them, because I don't expect that.
Yeah, I haven't gotten any yet.
I don't expect anybody to be out of water.
Good. Yeah.
Perfect.
Now, we had to plan as though we were going to be out of water, because there was a very high likelihood that
didn't
work.
Better.
But, so we're happy to, that it's not. So.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, perfect. Before I go, Chris, you got anything for me?
Chris?
No. I'll be up. I'll go over with you, but I'll be up on Monday. We can talk. Yep. No, I'm glad they got. Sorry, I couldn't make it up there today, but when I'm up next week.
That's teacher's course.
Uh-huh. You're the teacher today. Right.
Have a good one.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, Ian.
Okay, so we got Chris on the call. Chris, you got the microphones. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, again, good morning all. Chris Albert here from Jones Beach. I apologize for not getting up there. Yep. Hopefully Kelly is just all real educated for the last 3 days of my teaching him all about culverts.
I think
if he's there, he's still asleep. Yeah, it's not the most entertaining class, but again, it's a good class for the road agents on getting certified to replace culverts. But I apologize again. One thing, Jay, what I could probably do is pull up some ordinances for you. There's what's called a betterment type ordinance, where if a homeowner pays to have a water line extended on out of his own dime, and then and then after a certain amount of time, if other people tied into that, they would actually get recoup some of that money back. So we've done that a lot on municipal large-scale water lines, where if a contractor is bringing in, he needs water brought to his property, and he's extending, say, 3,000 feet of water pipe, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to get water to a commercial property. If other people tie in off of that water line, he kind of gets a cut of that pie back, and that's kind of called a betterment district. So that may be just kind of another tool in your toolbox to have as an ordinance available. If you had somebody that's really needs water on a property and they've got to extend a long distance. Just thought.
Great.
Just a quick update. Again, the tank erection went really well last week. Thank you for some of the people coming out and seeing the work going on. They're working on kind of filling in the slots on the vertical wall sections and then doing the upper bond beam. Schedule-wise, he's waiting for the little grout breaks for how well they break from a testing lab, whether or not they will either start maybe Monday or Tuesday for the wire winding on the tank. So, the tank's moving well, quite fine. So we're still expecting, August 20th, 21st, to do the final spraying of the tank and then actually starting to get some water in the tank. So they're moving forward quite well. I guess the trusses did get delivered for the building yesterday. Went to the office by mistake, so I guess they got those up to the site. The carpenter will be on site Monday to start framing the building. He's got maybe, you know, 3 days to frame the building, so that's moving right along. So it's, I think what we'll see is DN tank will get water in the tank in the next couple of weeks, you know, after the 20th, get them in and out of the process, get them closed out, and then Dawson can come in and, you know, finish the cleanup around the tank, get the building built, get the rest of the lines wet. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, sometime probably middle of September to complete the project if everything moves accordingly. We did get an email. Jay, I believe you got a copy of the email from Tom at Electrical Installations. I haven't had a chance to really regurgitate his 50-something pages of the submittal, but I didn't know if you had a chance to send that over to Larry also, because I know Larry wanted to take a look at that.
Yeah, no, I'll do that. So,
yeah, because I wanted to kind of get, and it's, like I said, I haven't read through the whole thing, and it really doesn't tell me exactly what we're getting, so I've got to kind of maybe put together response comments from the commission and Larry and myself to respond to Tom at Electrical Installations, Inc., and make sure that, you know, because you guys, you know, Tom's recreating his own system, so it's kind of hard for me to question what he is because he knows it all. So I'm hoping with Larry, because Larry's worked on it, and hopefully with Larry's background, he can help make sure we're getting what we're supposed to be getting for the replacement. Because, again, we're really just switching out what was at the old hut over to the new building, you know, with a newer version, same type of system of telemetry and SCADA. Donna had given me the old disbursement form that, remember, we went back and forth with Rick Skorenka. I've just been busy the last 3 days with my class that I haven't had a chance to finalize that, but by next Thursday's meeting, I'll have the DES disbursement put together with the two contractor invoices, the JBE invoices, the archaeological work, the ledge probes, that kind of work, so we can try to put everything in. And what I'll do is, if you do sign the change order for Bryant Paving today, we talked to Donna about it the other day. If you sign that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put in a change order form for, see, Rick first has to approve that work, and then we would put it in after it's done, of course, in September. But at this point, what I want to do is at least put the submittal in signed by the district that you've authorized the work, and that we're requesting that the $37,000 get put into the groundwater crust grant portion. And hopefully, I need to get some nice pictures of the trench work and the other work to kind of give Rick kind of an understanding, but I'm hopefully that they would acknowledge the one-inch overlay is part of the project from their monetary standpoint and keep it eligible.
Okay.
Other than that, it's moving around pretty good. I'm still working with the PRV pit up at the upper Lakeview. I think, you know, looking at some of the pressure zones with Ian, I've got to work with him some more. The problem we're finding, you know, like around your house, Jay, is that some of those guys actually have pressure reducing valves in their houses. So we really don't want. So it's kind of hard. He's going around with the individual pressure gauges at homes to see what the pressures are. So he's getting a lot of false negative, you know, aspects of, you know, say 50 pounds of pressure at like a curb stop, you know, water shutoff faucet at the house, but it's because they have a PRV in the basement. We need to work on those because it's really not the most preferred thing to have. We would rather have one centralized pressure reducing pit that the district or municipality is in control of and have the pressure going to each home. Because if something goes wrong with that basement PRV pit and kind of blows apart and blows all the plumbing out of the house, it gets to be a kind of a touchy situation on who's responsible for that. You know, we'd rather have the PRV pit under our control than an individual basement. So, again, that's still up in the air because, again, we want to get rid of some of these zones that on the old mapping had 137 PSI. And, you know, we want to kind of keep to a maximum of about 100 PSI in the district.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, the ordinance, Chris, right now stipulates that any construction, including any existing home, must have a pressure-reducing valve in the basement or in the incoming line. That is because of what you had mentioned, where if we get a, for example, if we flush the lines and we let the water rush back down into the line, creates that big hammer effect. And you're right,
yeah.
we have blown water tanks inside the homes because of the slam of pressure that comes in all at once. But that's part of the ordinance where it's, we're actually requiring every home to have a PRV on their plumbing.
Yeah.
So that
yeah,
might
so
be something to be considered. I don't know.
Yeah, it's something to look at. And, again, well, I think it's because when you look at when the ordinance was written, everything was so helter-skelter back then. You didn't have the ability to put in the PRV pits that we're doing now. Just from a funding and a hydraulic standpoint. So it's probably a pretty old ordinance that, you know, again, we can look at.
Okay. Yeah, can we speed up because we have an appointment at 10:30. We're going to have to end
okay.
the meeting at 10:30 to go non-public.
Okay. Yep, no, I guess I'm set for any questions. Again, I'll be up Monday for the wire winding and the tank framing. You know, like I say, Dawson's pretty much been off site just doing a little cleanup work doing this tie-in. But until the major work's done, you know, they've got a lion's share of all their work is complete. So, but I guess at this point,
yeah.
I'll take it to any questions.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Chris?
No. I do have some pictures of, if you want me to forward them to you, Chris, on Briston stock.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah, whatever you can, if you have anything, sure. I love pictures.
Yeah.
And,
I put them on the website. I'll forward them to you.
Thank you.
As Chris had mentioned, we do have a contract here from Brian Paving. The contract has one authorized signature. I will make the motion to, since I'm here with it in front of me, to be given permission by the Board of Commissioners to sign this contract for the Brian Paving of Briston Stock and Aspen. Do I have a second to that motion?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? This is so that Chris can take this to Rick Skorenka to put under the project contract. Okay.
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Aye, aye.
Yep.
Aye, boss.
Okay, hear me.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we're all set, Chris.
Great, great. Hope we all have a lovely weekend, and I'll see you up there Monday.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Chris.
Bye now.
Thank you.
All right.
Open to the public.
I'm going to jump real quick. I'm going to give 10 minutes for public comment because I don't want to forego that. So does anybody on the call have any public comment?
Hi, Jay. This is Dinah. I just want
yes,
to
Dinah.
Make everybody aware of next week.
The bond. The bond.
On the 12th, we should be getting our bond proceeds, and on the 13th, we're going to wire the money to the payoff to Newburyport. I've checked with the bank, and all I need from one of the commissioners is for them to go to Bank of New Hampshire on Thursday, the 13th, and sign the wire transfer. I'll get the payoff, and I'll get all the routing information to Newburyport. However, they need a commissioner, just one commissioner, to sign that wire transfer on Thursday. So I just want to make you aware of that, but that's the plan, and hopefully somebody would be able to do that.
Okay.
I can do that.
Okay, because I'll be out of the area.
I can definitely
right.
do it. I mean,
thank
I'll put it on my calendar. I'll probably do it after the meeting. So it doesn't matter what time. Okay.
No, just before it's cut off for the wires, which I think is in late afternoon. So. I'll have everything ready for you. Thank you, Paula. That takes care of my stuff.
Thank you, Don.
All right. Great. Anybody else in the public have any?
It's nobody else.
Oh, nobody else? Okay. Oh, that's disappointing. All right. I'm just jumping down very quickly on things that we have to hit because we're not going to be able to get to everything today. Yes, very quickly, I sent out a PDF of RSA 262:40-A, which is vehicles removed from private and state property, conspicuous notice in parking lots and garages. Everybody get a chance to read that?
No.
Any questions?
No.
Sorry.
So basically, you summarize. Yeah. What do we need to do? You know.
So basically, according to our Madison police who have been researching this, we now have the authority and the right to go ahead and have this vehicle towed. According to them, it will not cost us anything. The salvage company actually uses it, whatever they salvage, to leverage whatever cost they incurred. They said we could do this by the end of this week, which would be tomorrow. So if you want me to, I can go ahead and have Madison Police Department identify this as an abandoned vehicle and call a salvage company to come get it.
I will make a motion that Jay calls and we get this thing towed.
I'll second the motion. Okay. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor,
nope.
Say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. And one other thing, I did send out a letter that I drafted to Chief King of the Madison Police Department, and it commends three of his employees, Officer Mike Mosier, Officer Jake Martin, and Officer Jimmy Hayford, who has been very diligent in researching this abandoned vehicle information for us. Mike Mosier was observed picking up trash early one Sunday morning from Boulder Beach and I believe Geneva Beach, taking it to the dump for us. And Officer Jake Martin was instrumental in making a particular beach more friendly by stopping a violation that was in play, but did so quite nicely. So I'll make a motion that we go ahead and sign this letter out of session and then have this sent to Chief King of the Madison Police Department.
I'll second
that.
Yeah.
I'll second that.
Okay.
It was a little bit wordy, Jay, but I'm working on it.
Saying less words.
Can you go through it? I would just ask Donna to go through. There's a couple like just typo grammatical things. Just check it and make
Okay.
Yeah. No, I will certainly accept that.
Mike Mosier had gone ahead. It's just Officer Mike Mosier. Just stuff like that. Okay.
All right. All in favor of that? Sending that letter. Say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. I did want to point out one other thing in that we have been mistakenly using RSA 91A Roman numeral 2, and I believe we were using G.
Yeah, but it's
the letter G, and this is on a form that was in existence here in the office for some years. G is not really relevant to, it has to do with corrections or jails, and we don't have one that I know of yet.
Okay.
So that has been corrected by Donna. Thank you for catching that, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, I'm going to go to Kathy and Paula since we still have some time. Do you have any commissioner's reports?
The only thing is, this is Kathy, the only thing is follow up on the Department of Labor and schedule a re-inspection to show that we are now in compliance with all of their findings. And I'll do that with Jeff on Monday.
All right. Okay, thank you. We do have quite a few correspondents, obviously, and quite a few 91A requests in the past couple of weeks. None of them other than the 91A request require action, and the action, I believe, on the 91As has been taken. So we don't have to discuss anything regarding the 91As. I'm sorry, the correspondence. There were just, some of them were just informational, et cetera.
So, Jay, if you have two minutes, one of the things that everybody's been discussing is that property assessment of $19,800. I had my call with Avatar yesterday, and he did say that their legal team is looking into that. And his comment was that the original deed had deeded access to the water, which meant it was exclusively the village's private amenity. And when it became a municipality in 1985, and the covenants were not renewed, and we became a municipal, which I believe made all of our property now public, not private, he said, I don't know about the legality of that. So they are spending their money legally to research what the actual status is of the waters in the district.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, because that was an easy one.
The other thing I thought of, just what people want to know, is that I asked the guy, he said Madison overall went up 22%, and Edelweiss went up overall 36%. So if Pietro asked you about that in terms of how their property was assessed and changed in comparison, those are the two numbers I got from them today.
Wow,
it
great.
It was actually 17.5% for Madison, but...
Yeah, that's what I was told, yeah. The overall town went up 17.5, but if you take 22 and 36 and divide it in half, still doesn't come
total,
to 17.
He told me Madison total went up 22%. That included Edelweiss. And then he told me Edelweiss within that, and nobody had asked that yet, went up 36%.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he told me not 17, said 22. And he had that at the top of the
table. Right.
He answered that pretty quickly, so...
okay.
I thought you should put that in comparison.
All right.
The only other thing I was going to mention, and I don't know if we're going to get to this point, but one thing to think about Noreen Downs' thing about the video and using the town hall meeting room. I looked at the new rules for charges for the Madison. You know, they have a new updated town property regulations. And they're charging now $50 for use of that room, but it says it can be at the it says 2 hours of use is $50 at the discretion of the town administrator. So before we go back to using that room, we need to find out if we would be charged for it.
Yeah, I believe we're always exempt because we are another municipality within the town. They consider us like the planning board or any other board that they have.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So. Yeah, we have a visitor for non-public, so I'd like to adjourn this meeting. Actually take a roll call to go into non-public session. So I'll make a vote to go with the roll call for non-public session. I vote yes.
Yeah.
And what RSA? And RSA what, Jay?
Oh, it's going to be...
it was...
I'm sorry, let me grab
C and one. L.
C and L. RSA, 91A. Roman numeral 2, C and L. Let me just verify that. C is reputation. And L.
It's L. I didn't get, I haven't changed.
Okay, you haven't changed this one. All right. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll call.
All right. Call into the office, please.
Yep.
Okay, so you want to call
the
office, Donna? Okay.
Yes, please.
All right, I've got to use the ladies and we'll be right back. Okay.